You are now listening to the Legends Lingo podcast, presented by StudentUnionSports.com. Here are your hosts, Al and Powder.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back in Legends Lingo podcast, episode 229, presented by StudentUnionSports.com. Make sure to check out everything going on at StudentUnionSports.com, from the daily blogs to the podcasts and everything else in between. And if you are someone that is into sports journalism, sports editing, you want to get on a podcast, or you just want to get in the sports industry in general, make sure to hit up Liam Smith at all the main accounts for Student Union Sports on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. I don't know if we have a TikTok. Sorry, Liam. And everything else in between. Al Nahegan here. Tom Powder Cadmus here. Tom Powder Cadmus celebrating a birthday a couple days ago, I believe, turning, if I'm not mistaken. Hold on. Let's see. 26?
27.
God damn. 27. All right. So you're not 4 years. I was about to say, because I was thinking about it, I'm like, wait, is he 26? Because that would mean I'm like 4 years older than him, and that doesn't seem right. No. So I'm glad that we're good now. So Happy 27th, belated 27th birthday.
Thank you.
You're no longer on your parents' health insurance, so that kind of sucks for you. It is
what
it is.
Haven't been in years since I got a full-time job.
Okay, so even better. You didn't have to be on it, so congratulations. I don't know if you can – I think, what is it, 25 you can legally rent a car? Or is it 27?
25.
It is 25. Okay, so you've been able to do that. So happy 27th birthday, Powder.
Thank you.
What did you do for it? Tell the listeners what you did for your big day.
All right, so Saturday, my birthday was Monday. Saturday had family over. Then Sunday went to the Red Sox game, which was a lot of fun. They got down early to the A's, came back and won that. Duvall and Yoshi both had home runs, so it was pretty cool to watch. And then Monday for my birthday, it rained all day, so just kind of used a lot of different places birthday rewards to get free stuff. Good. Free Starbucks, free Panera bakery item, free crumble cookie. Free ads on this podcast, but
no just free ads.
If you ever have a birthday coming up, I kind of did a little late, so I missed a couple of them, but just download some apps to your favorite food places, and a lot of them do birthday rewards. So I was kind of just doing that and watching some movies, because my fiance got me Top Gun, both movies. We only watched the first one, but I've seen them before, but got me both movies. So you kind of just had a movie day in. So it was a lot of fun.
I love that. I think I saw it when I was younger, like the original Top Gun.
Yeah.
But I don't remember it as well, because I think I was younger when I saw it. But I saw Top Gun Maverick in theaters with Courtney, and we both loved it.
Oh, yeah. We saw it at a drive-in theater. Like, it was awesome being at a drive-in theater watching that movie.
Oh, drive-ins are so much fun with like the food, the atmosphere. Yeah. Oh, it's great. Yeah. But that's what we should do when we hang out. We should like go double date, go to the drive-in, hang out. That'll be fun. Yeah. It'll be a good time.
Yeah.
We'll figure that out. But if you're wondering where we were last week was a little bit jammed. We had kind of conflicting schedules. It was obviously the 4th of July. So happy belated 4th of July to everybody. Again, the weather was kind of bad, but we hope you enjoyed the day, even though the weather was kind of crappy. But again, it is what it is. So yeah, we missed last week. We're back this week, though, with a new episode. So if this episode seems a little longer than usual, it's because we're just recapping kind of everything that has gone on last week into this week. And a lot has happened in the span of about 2 weeks. So we're going to try to cover kind of the really big things that happened. There is something with all four Boston sports teams, so we're going to get deep dive into it. So, Powder, we got Patriots, we got Bruins, we got Celtics, we got Red Sox. What do we want to do first?
Let's get into the Celtics, because I feel like they have a few big things happen in past 2 weeks.
Okay, so the Celtics, there is a lot going on. So let's do the first thing. So there was another big trade that happened. So if you recall, earlier in the offseason, Marcus Smart traded to the Memphis Grizzlies. But little did we know that that wasn't going to be the last big move, that Brad Stevens made for the Celtics team. Because now, not only is Marcus Smart gone, but Grant Williams is gone as well. So Grant Williams officially traded. He is a Dallas Maverick in the deal. And the Celtics, in return, got a couple of draft picks. So here's kind of the specifics of the draft picks. So they have the more favorable of the Bulls or Pelicans second round pick in 2024, Dallas's own 2030 second round pick, and the right to swap a previously acquired 2025 second round pick with Dallas's own 2025 second round pick as well. This may not be a significant return, but better than nothing. And that's from
2030 trade. I'm going to forget about that by the time that comes up, that we have that draft pick.
Oh, I know. It's going to be like, huh? Yeah. Remember the Grant Williams trade? And we're going to be like, oh yeah, that happened. But Grant Williams leaving, and the deal was for, I believe the sign trade was about 4 for 54. So right around that $13.5 million range. And there was a rumor that the Celtics offered in the fall 4 for 50. So the money seemed a little bit weird, but I'm just going to kind of open with this powder. It looks like there really is a sense of Brad Stevens wants Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown to take the bull by the horns and become those leaders, because you think about two of the guys that were more outspoken on the Celtics for the last couple of years. It's been Marcus Smart and it's been Grant Williams. So those are two guys that you take them out of the equation. It's like, okay, Tatum and Brown, you can't lead by example anymore. You got to lead vocally too. And I think that there are some moves that I think still can be made. And I think the Celtics are kind of gearing up on draft picks, because one report, I think it was Adam Himmelsbach that writes for, I think it's the Globe. I could be wrong. He's a Celtics writer. And he basically wrote that all these moves are for Brad Stevens to make a quote seismic strike. So basically, if a big deal's out there, Brad Stevens wants to be able to kind of, you know, go in there and make it. But just overall, I mean, Grant Williams, he was a good role player off the bench. He was slowly developing into really a cornerstone of the bench. I want that clear and not to be misconstrued. He was a big part of that bench, and he should have been used more off the bench, especially this past playoffs. It is what it is, but I think he's going to have a more defined role, a bigger role in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And more power to him. I know Courtney was very, very upset. She's now a Dallas Mavericks fan. And I'm like, well, all right, I'll get you a Dallas Mavericks shirt. And, you know, you can be with Grant and you know, and all that, and support Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving and all that. But all right, Powder, just overall thoughts on the Grant Williams trade. Do you like it? Are you sad by it? Just overall, just kind of consensus thoughts on it.
I mean, like you said, he was a good role player on the Red Sox, or wow, on the Celtics. On the Celtics, he did have that big game, not this past playoffs, but the playoffs before, to get the Celtics to the NBA Finals. But
the Eastern Conference final, game seven against Milwaukee. Yeah. I got you.
Sorry. But he, that's what he was. He was a role player for this. Also, like you said, good for Grant Williams if he's getting a bigger role in Dallas and stuff like that. Like you said, everything I've heard is the Celtics are gearing up to make that big move, that big splash that they haven't done in a long time. Since really what, KG and Ray Allen, that's the last time they made a huge move that the NBA, and they're getting the picks ready to do it. And I think that's what Brad Stevens is going to become, a similar type of guy like a Danny Ainge that kind of loads up and then waits for a shot and then does not miss. I think he's going to, I really think I trust Brad Stevens. I think he's a very smart guy. And I think this is where he's kind of loading up his shot to find the best deal to really put the Celtics over the top. I think, obviously, I like Grant Williams. I think he did a good job. But if you can get one of the superstar on the Celtics to just have that big three, I think it'll be worth it. I think if the Celtics can win a championship, it'll be Grant Williams. Like, it'll just be an afterthought.
So a couple things on that. So yeah, the KG, Ray Allen, yeah, those were big trades. I think the only smaller but still significant trade that you can also refer back to too was the Kyrie Irving trade.
That's true.
When they got Kyrie, you know, they signed Gordon Hayward in free agency, so obviously that doesn't count. But you know, Kyrie Irving, that was a big splash. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so with that, Yeah, you have to strike when it's good. I think one thing that people forget about Danny Ainge too, he would hoard draft picks,
Yeah.
and more draft picks, more draft picks. And sometimes he would actually use like those second round picks. And you're like, why don't you like find a trade? But I do think there's a move out there. I don't think it's Damian Lillard, and we're going to talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, there could be a move, and I'm just throwing a name out there, like a Pascal Siakam in Toronto. I think that's a guy that the Celtics, if they really wanted him, they could go after him and probably get have to give up a little less than if they were to somehow want to get Damian Lillard. And you need to make that move. But also keep in mind, too, that there's a numbers thing, and they still have to sign Jaylen Brown to a Supermax deal. And that's something that people have been talking about. And that's something we'll talk about in a couple minutes. But, you know, again, Grant, like, good for you. You got your money. Hopefully you have a bigger role in Dallas. You helped them kind of advance in the Western Conference. And, you know, best of luck to you. He was a good guy, you know, good guy in the community. Again, a 3-and-D guy. He can shoot the three in his last couple years and defend some of the best big men in the NBA. So we'll miss that aspect. But I think Kristaps Porzingis is going to kind of make up a little bit of that, especially shooting the three and being able to, you know, play the post and everything too. So
yeah.
It is what it is. But I do want to talk about, and you can pick what we talk about next. You want to talk about Jaylen Brown or Damian Lillard? Which one do you want to talk about next?
Let's do Lillard, then we can go Brown.
Okay, so Damian Lillard, there's been a couple conflicting reports. Like, there was Chris Mannix went on Toucher and Rich, I think, like a week or two ago, and basically said there's a way that the Celtics could make a deal with Portland without having to give up Jaylen Brown. And then there's other reports that are saying that Damian Lillard is hard, like a hard resounding no to coming to Boston and going to other teams like LA, like with the Clippers and everything. Like, he is dead set on going to the Miami Heat.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, if I'm the Celtics, what I would do is I would call the Blazers, give them one offer. And give them, you know, close to your best offer. Not your absolute best, but close to your best offer. Because the way you view it, it's a no-lose situation. Because if you get Damian Lillard, then great. You have one of the best players in the NBA at the point guard position. And if you don't give up Jaylen Brown, then there's a great starting five right there with Lillard, White, the two Jays, and Porzingis. And then you can have, like, Rob and whoever, or if he goes in a trade. But then your bench could become a little bit better.
Yeah.
And if you don't, then, you know, you keep what you have and then you look elsewhere. And I'm getting tired of hearing the Damian Lillard rumors, like, all right, Miami and Portland, get the deal done. Send them to Miami. Let's be done with it. Yeah. And then the Celtics can do something else.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with me is if you don't want to come here, fine. Then don't even, if I'm Brad Stevens, I don't even bother. Or maybe it's a ploy to just get everyone to kind of think, oh, the Celtics aren't interested. And maybe behind the scenes, he's calling Portland and seeing what's going on. Because there was another rumor that said the Celtics have significant interest in Damian Lillard. So I don't know what to believe. I don't know what you believe, Powder, but just kind of just thoughts on that.
Yeah, no, he's on the tail end of his prime. So I think getting him, like, obviously, he'll make the Celtics better and all that, but that's, I don't think, the player that Brad Stevens is going after. Maybe he is. Maybe he thinks he's the piece that'll put him over the top, and I could be wrong, but I don't think that's truly the piece that Brad Stevens is. And if, like you said, if Lillard doesn't want to be here, don't come here. Who cares? Go somewhere else, be happy somewhere else, and just do it already.
Yeah, get the deal done. If it's to Miami, fine. If you somehow ends up in Boston somehow, great. I mean, people forget Kevin Garnett didn't want to come here either. Like, he was very adamant at first, like, I don't want to come to Boston. But then when he got here, he's like, wow, this place is pretty good. And then, of course, winning a championship in his first year here didn't hurt either.
Yeah.
You know, and then he truly embraced being a Celtic for the next five seasons. You know, and it was a great time. So, you know, it could be one of those situations, but I think it's a little different day and age. You know, everyone in the NBA is just wanting to play with their friends and, you know, they're requesting trades left and right. And, you know, fine. Damian Lillard, go to Miami. Like, go live your best life. Hang out with Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. And if you win a title, then it ends up being the right move for you. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, like, I don't want to hear about it anymore. I really don't. So just a quick little thing on Lillard. And then the last Celtics thing that we just wanted to kind of touch upon, unless, Power, do you have anything else on, on Lillard? Okay. So Jaylen Brown's eligible to sign a Supermax. There it was, I believe it was 5 for $290. And then there was also an opportunity to get up to as close as like 307. There was something in there, but there was also something in, and Zolak and Bertrand talked about it today. Basically, if you sign Jaylen Brown to a supermax, you're committing 70% of your roster to three players. So that would be Brown, Porzingis, and Tatum. And then when Tatum's contract is up and they're going to give him the supermax, then if you could potentially be paying 90% of the roster in 2024, 2025 to three players, which is crazy to think about. So the Celtics are in a little bit of a roster crunch right now. So I think that's why they're holding off a little bit on giving Brown a big deal. And I think Brown's camp is also being like, look, we know what's going on with you guys. We know that Jaylen Brown's good. We think of him similar to Jason Tatum, even though I don't think the fans think that way. But we view him that way, and he's, you know, he could be a number one on a lot of other teams in the NBA. So let's fork over the dough here and let's get this done. So he was eligible to sign the extension on July 1st. It is now July 12th as we're recording, and nothing has been signed yet. So are we worried yet about a deal getting done? I'm not worried yet. I think in a couple of weeks, if he's not signed, like before August, then I'm going to start to worry a little bit, but I don't think it's going to get that way. I think that he's going to end up signing an extension here because he'd be dumb not to, because he'd be making a lot of money. So, I mean, I wouldn't worry just yet about Jaylen Brown. Don't panic, Celtics fans. Don't panic.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Jaylen Brown loves it here. I think, like you said, he's just waiting kind of to see what the Celtics' next move is. And like you said, I think a deal will get done soon, and he'll be a Celtic for an extended period of time. And I think he's going to just – I think his only want is to stay here. Like, obviously, if he could sign somewhere else, and it's a bear, I just don't see a better opportunity for him right now, where he's playing alongside someone he's very comfortable with. He's comfortable in this city. I think he loves this city, and I think the city loves him too.
I think the city loves him, but I also think that he kind of floats under the radar a little bit. Yeah. You know, Jaylen Brown's a very intelligent individual. He does his thing. He speaks at like charity events, speaks at colleges and stuff. Like, Jaylen Brown is very, very smart.
Yeah.
Very, very smart guy. And I think he enjoys having those opportunities to do different things. So with that, yes, get the deal done. Get it done. And then you can just worry about everything else. Worry about filling out the roster, making that one big move. Because I'm going to tell you something. I don't think Malcolm Brogdon's going to be on this team before opening night.
Mm-hmm.
I think Peyton Pritchard is most likely going to be out the door too. And then I don't know who else in a deal, but those are the guys I think aren't going to stay on the roster any longer. And Jaylen Brown needs to be here for your foundation, because that big three that you were talking about that they needed, Powder, they already have it now, because they have Tatum, they have Brown, they have Porzingis. And if Porzingis is healthy and can give you 65 to 70 games in a season, and if he even played like in the 70s, then you're going to see a really productive Kristaps Porzingis, and you're going to see a really skilled player. Don't forget, this guy was a former number 4 overall pick by the Knicks. Yep. So there's some talent there. It's just about staying healthy and making sure that he can unlock that talent for the Celtics. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully we hear something about Damian Lillard soon, just to talk about it. And then hopefully we'll be talking and be happy about the Jaylen Brown extension, and maybe it'll be more team friendly than we think, and go from there.
Yep.
All right. Enough about the Celtics, though. Let's just do a really quick Bruins segment, really quick. So the Bruins made a couple of moves. So they signed a couple of veterans to one-year deals, James Van Riemsdyk being one of them, Kevin Shattenkirk being another one. Milan Lucic is coming back to be on the third line, one-year, $1 million deal. Morgan Geeky signs on a two-year deal. And they made a couple other signings. But the Milan Lucic one, Powder, is one I want to talk about for a quick second, because – yeah, it's cool that Lucic is coming back. Like, yeah, he was a Bruin here for a while. I'm pretty sure he won a cup here. I could be mistaken on that, but I think he won the cup here in 11. But, like, he's a third or fourth line wing. He only had 19 points last season with Calgary. Like, the only reason I can think that this signing is any good is because it's going to put fans in the stands. Like, they're going to break out their old school Lucic jerseys. They might see him get into a fight or two, you know, but that's about it. Like, I don't know what else it could be. So yeah. I don't know.
No, I agree. It's nothing that jumps off the table. Like you said, it's someone that fans are familiar with. But like you said, just so what year did they win the cup? 10-11? So yeah, 11. He was on the Bruins that won it. Yeah, it's not something that jumps off the table. But like you said, maybe sells a few extra tickets, but it's whatever. Just a veteran leadership role. Sometimes you need a couple extra of those leaders in the locker room.
That's what I think it is, because guess what? Guys like Patrice Bergeron, David Krejci, they're free agents. You don't know if they're going to come back for another season. They might just hang up their skates and be like, you know what? We tried it in 2022, 2023. We had a great regular season. Then we got bounced first round. Like, I don't want to have to go through that again. Mm. And they're not going to be as good. Like, they're going to retire. I think they're going to retire, and it's going to be a new era in Boston Bruins hockey. And the one other Bruins move that I wanted to talk about is Tyler Bertuzzi, because that's kind of the guy that everyone wanted to see stay here.
Yep.
Because you lost Dmitry Orlov. I think he signed in Carolina. Garnett Hathaway signed in Philly. So Bertuzzi was the guy that everyone was like, let's keep him. He could be a big part of the future going forward. He could be second line with David Pastrnak. And he ends up going to the Toronto Maple Leafs on a one-year, $5.5 million deal. So obviously, somebody screwed up somewhere, because Bertuzzi was looking for a multi-year deal. He was looking for, I think, in the $6 to $7 million range. And he gets a one for 5.5. Now, granted, I guess Bertuzzi and the Toronto general manager are like best friends. So, I mean, that's obviously a disadvantage for the Bruins. Yeah. But the Bruins traded away a good player in Taylor Hallpowder to create that cap space to be able to like have some wiggle room. But a lot of people were speculating that that was made to make sure Bertuzzi was here in the long term. Yeah. And now he's not. So I think the Celtics, I pulled a U. I think the Bruins dropped the ball on this, because that could have been a big piece for you going forward, especially Brad Marchand's getting older, and it's going to be a team where like Pastrnak takes over, McAvoy takes over, kind of like those captainship roles, and Bertuzzi could have been right in the thick of things there too. So I don't know. I don't know if you heard about that. I don't know if you just had any quick comments about that, but I think the Bruins really fumbled the bag on that one. And I think if Bertuzzi does well in Toronto, he's going to sign a long-term extension after the season's over. Like, they'll give him a new contract, but that's just me.
Yeah, I don't have a ton of thoughts. I just, when I saw that, I was a little shocked. Like, I'm surprised he's leaving. So, like you said, just kind of that's someone that I thought the Bruins would try and lock up for at least a couple more years to try and just see if it worked out with him. And obviously not seeing him stay kind of sucks. I think the Bruins are kind of like we probably talked about last year, but they're probably just going to be a middle of the pack team. Like, obviously this past season surprised everybody, and they're not going to repeat it, but I don't think they're talent wise. They're just middle of the pack from what I know about hockey. To me, it seems like they're just a middle of the pack team.
It's going to be a bridge year. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be a bridge year for this Bruins team, because after the 2023-2024 season, Powder, they have nearly $30 million in cap space, which for the NHL is a lot.
Yeah.
So they're going to have a lot of wiggle room to get some players in here and kind of retool it. And you know what? If the Bruins make the playoffs, they win a playoff series, then great. But no one's going to expect them to win the cup this year.
Yeah.
Nobody. And nobody expected them really to win the cup last year. They surprised everyone. But it's going to be interesting this season to see what happens. And especially if Bergeron and Krejci hang them up, then again, like I said earlier, it's going to be a new era of Bruins hockey. And I think fans need to embrace that, and they need to understand that, you know, what they did for years here is great, but at some point it's time to move on. Like Tom Brady moved on. David Ortiz moved on. Like the big three of the Celtics, Pierce, Garnett, and Rondo all moved on. Now, granted, some of them got moved because of trades and everything, but you know, I know like Brady left in free agency. Ortiz obviously retired, and the big three, they all got traded, but you know, these times come to an end.
Yep.
and this is going to be the end for that era of Bruins hockey. It's a shame they didn't win another cup in the, and I'm calling it the Marchand Bergeron era, but there's nothing you can do about it at this point.
No.
So, all right. We got the Red Sox and we got the Patriots. I want to talk some Red Sox. We can save the Patriots for the end because there's not a lot going on. There's one thing going on with that. But first, Powder.
Yep.
We haven't done a read about our favorite people at A&B Kitchen Bar in a couple weeks, and I think they're a little mad at us.
Yeah, I'll be actually seeing the owner down in Tennessee in a couple weeks.
There you go.
But Legends Lingo, like we say every episode, we're gratefully sponsored by A&B Kitchen and Bar and A&B Burgers. A&B Kitchen and Bar is located right across the street from TD Garden. It's the best spot to meet up before or after a Bruins or Celtics game, a concert if you're going to, or even if, like I say all the time, during the winter when it's Bruins Celtics season, if you don't have tickets but you want the atmosphere right next to the garden, it's the best place to meet up. They have great food. They have burgers. They have meatloaf. They have fish and chips. They have all different stuff that's all local food. They have great draft beers. They have wine. They have a full bar. So wherever you're feeling, if you want to get your drink on. If you don't want to drink, they have local sodas. It's not like it's those big name soda brands. They're actually local soda brands. So kind of anything you're feeling, A&B Kitchen Bar has. And if you want a great burger, head up to North Shore in Beverly, Mass. To have a great burger, A&B Burgers. Like I say all the time, it's the best burger I've ever had. And when you go there, make sure you tell them the Legends Lingo Boys sent you.
Shout out to our friends at A&B Kitchen and Bar, A&B Burgers. Great people, great atmosphere, better times ahead.
Yep.
Make sure to check them out and tell them the Legends Boys sent you. All right, Red Sox. So it's as we're recording, it's the MLB All-Star Week. The All-Star Game happened on Tuesday. The National League, for the first time in 10 years, victorious with a 3-2 victory over the American League. So shout out to the National League. Shout out to Vladdy Guerrero Jr. for winning the 2023 MLB Home Run Derby over Randy Arozarena in the final round. But we're here to talk about the Red Sox.
Did you watch Home Run Derby at all?
I watched a good portion of it. I think I fell asleep in the semifinal rounds. Like I conked out. Like I couldn't do it. But I watched all the first round and into the semifinals.
I stopped watching after the first round, but that Julio Rodriguez round was unbelievable. And Adley Rutschman. Oh, yeah. There are a couple really good rounds in that first round.
Oh yeah, especially Rutschman switching to the right side for the bonus round. Like that was just an ultimate like swagger type of move.
Oh yeah.
And honestly, I thought when Julio hit 41 in the first round, I said, this guy's going to win it. He's at his home park. Like, he's got all the momentum.
Yeah.
And then Vladdy Guerrero was like, nope, not going to happen.
Yeah.
So, forget you, Vladdy Guerrero. But, Boston Red Sox, 48-43 at the All-Star break. Yes, they're last in the American League East, guys. We get it. But that's not, like, the most important thing. What is important is they are two games out of the final wild card spot as of right now, behind the Blue Jays, behind the Yankees, who, I don't know, Powder, if you know, but in 13 games this year against the Blue Jays and the Yankees, the Red Sox are 12-1. So they're pretty good. They're pretty good against those two teams. So before I give my take, Powder, I want to know your take about the Red Sox first half of the season with everything that's gone on. It can be about ownership. It can be about Alex Cora, the players, anything you want. Just overall first half thoughts with this Red Sox team.
I mean, honestly, it honestly impressed me a little bit with them being five games above 500. Their starting pitching hasn't, like, obviously Brian Bello's been good and James Paxton's been good, but Chris Sale being hurt and stuff like that, like, you've battled through some injuries to stay where you are. Obviously, it sucks, and I say this all the time to on here and then also to just people in general, it sucks they're in the AL East. Like, obviously, it just is what it is. Sometimes different divisions are stronger than others. And if you put them in the AL Central, if they're the Grand Rapids Red Sox, like I think our buddy Jared Carrabas said one time, they're in first place by five games. And they're rock and rolling. But obviously, being last place in a division, probably the best division in baseball, it's tough. But I'm impressed. I would say I'm impressed with the first half so far.
You have to give credit where credit's due, right? With all the injuries to the rotation, like you mentioned Sale, you mentioned Tanner Houck, you mentioned Garrett Whitlock, you mentioned the starting pitching being a problem. There's still five games over 500. And yes, I know that it took a sweep of the worst team in baseball to get you to that point, but you got there.
Yep.
You got to the point where, yes, you are five games above 500.
It's Major League Baseball. Anybody can lose to anybody.
Exactly. Exactly. We all thought that on your birthday that the Red Sox were going to lose to the A's. It's like, okay, of course they're going to win 2 out of 3, and it's a disappointing 2 out of 3 series victory. But alas, here we are. The MLB trade deadline is on August 1st. That's the final day for it.
Yeah.
And here's what I want to ask you, Powder. Very simple question. If you are the Red Sox, are you buying at the trade deadline or are you selling? And let's just say you have to pick one direction. You can't say both, that you buy and sell like Chaim Bloom likes to do. Yeah. Are you buying or are you selling?
That's such a tough question because they're in the worst spot to be in. They're right near a playoff spot. They're not in it, but they're near it. They're competing, but they're not like running away with anything. So you know they're 100% buyers and they're not 20 games back, so you know they're going to sell. I think the Red Sox, if I were to put money on it, I would say they are going to be aggressive and try and buy. I don't think they're going to buy, like who knows? I don't think they're truly going to go after a superstar, but they're going to get pieces. They're going to make trades to add to their team, not take away. I don't think you're really going to see many of the Red Sox core pieces gone at this trade deadline. I think they're going to add.
Okay. So here's what I'm going to say about that. I think it's dependent on what happens in the next couple of weeks.
Yes,
here's
definitely.
Why. Look at their schedule after the All-Star break. So coming out of the All-Star break on Friday, they have a 3-game series in Chicago against the Cubs, and the Cubs have been kind of going back in the direction we all thought they were. Not a great baseball team.
Yeah.
Then they have 3 in Oakland against the A's. So hopefully they can pick up a couple wins, if not 3 wins there. And they're at home against the Mets, who have been severely underachieving this year and don't look like the powerhouse that we all thought they were going to be. Excuse me. Then they have 2 at home against the Braves, which, you know, that's a tough series. And then 3 on the road against the Giants.
Yeah.
And then that leads into a series in Seattle at the very end of the month going into August. So taking a look at that, you have 3 games with the Cubs, 3 games with the A's, 3 games with the Mets, 2 games with the Braves, and 3 games with the Giants. So that's 14 games right there.
Yep.
The Red Sox are 48 and 43 as it stands. If they go 9-5, Powder, so quick math on that. They go 9-5, they're going to be 57 and 48 at the deadline. Mm-hmm. That if you're 57, 48, if you're 9 games above 500 and you have the chance to really compete for a playoff spot, then yes, you go after it, you buy, and you get some damn starting pitching because you know you need it. Because I am sick and tired of seeing 2 openers every single week. It is absurd. At the major league level, you are not the Tampa Bay Rays. Like, I know that the Rays are like the best team in the American League. I know that. I get that. But go buy.
Yeah.
Go get what you have to get. Now, on the flip side of that, you're 48 and 43, and let's say you go 5-9, then you're 53. I think you're 53 and 52, somewhere around there.
Yep.
So then you're 1 game above 500. You're sitting at that 500 line. Then at that point, then I would sell.
Yeah.
Then I would say, you know what? Not our year. Not that it was ever going to be the Red Sox year to win a World Series title or even compete for one, but you're barely competing for a playoff spot. You're probably going to be out of it by then. Sell off the young pieces. The only 2 young pieces that I would not trade personally are Brian Bello. Actually, let me rephrase that. there are four pieces, three at the major league level and one in the minor leagues that I would not trade. I would not trade Brian Baio. I would not trade Tristan Casas. I would not trade Jarren Duran. And I would not trade Marcelo Meyer.
Yeah.
Everybody else can go. Like the veterans can go. Adam Duvall can go. Justin Turner can go. I think if you have to keep Chris Martin or Kenley Jansen, hot take powder, I might take Chris Martin.
Yeah, he's having a very good year.
He is. And Jansen's an all-star. Like Kenley Jansen's an all-star. That's great. But I think Kenley Jansen, you know, is someone that you can get more for. You can get more value out of him, especially since he was named an all-star. Like that's just going to help his case.
Yeah.
But again, I hate to say it, but it's all dependent on what this team does in the next couple weeks, because let's say that they are too over aggressive. They make a couple moves and they're still losing. Then people are going to say, well, they bought early and it's not working.
Yeah.
Or if they're going on a tear and they don't get help and then they don't make the playoffs, it's like, well, Haim didn't help them.
Yeah.
So it's a double-edged sword there. So again, you got to wait and then make the moves. But if the Red Sox are in it and Haim Bloom buys and makes good moves, then I think he saves his job.
Yeah.
Hot take. I think he'll save his job at that point. But I don't know. I don't know. You never know what's going to happen with Haim Bloom. I mean, look at last year. Perfect example. Trades away Christian Vasquez, brings in Eric Hosmer. You know, like that, we don't know what he's going to do. Like those were two, like, kind of like really weird moves.
Yep.
And the only reason you took Hosmer is because the Padres took on a majority of the salary.
Yep.
So I don't know. I'll ask you this too. And then we'll kind of wrap up with our Red Sox talk, do our quick Patriots talk, then get out of here. Is there one guy you would like to see the Red Sox get at the deadline? Is there one guy that you're really pining for the Red Sox to really be aggressive to go get?
I'm trying to think of guys who, like, from everything I've heard, it's going to be a weird market because, like, some of the teams that you think would be, like, good sellers or something are either, like, the teams that are going to sell don't really have many pieces, and teams that are going to buy, like, the fringe teams are probably going to have to buy because it's so, like, each league is so, like, there's so many teams that are competing, but, it depends. Like if the pretty sure he's on the Reds. Let me just confirm my thought. But
I think I know who you're talking about. Is it the closer?
No. Oh no, he's on the Twins. Sonny Gray. If the Twins start to scuffle right before the deadline and they want to sell, especially Sonny Gray, who's a Cy Young candidate this year. He would be definitely a guy to solidify your rotation. He's in the conversation for a Cy Young this year. He's had a very good year. In Minnesota, so I've seen the AL Central, so it's kind of up for grabs. But if Cleveland gets hot these next 2 weeks and Minnesota goes cold and they want to sell, that's someone who I want the Celtics to get, is Sonny Gray.
Getting your teams mixed up again, Powder?
Who did I say?
You just said the Celtics.
Jesus.
You poor thing. I think you need some sleep, my man.
Yeah.
You went a little too hard on your birthday. It's okay. Yeah. We've all been there. But yes, I think Sonny Gray would be actually an intriguing piece. Not going to lie. How many years does he have in his contract? That's what I want to know. Because I think if you can get him for like, you know, a couple of years, like that's another, you know, mid to top end of the rotation guy.
So he could be a guy who goes because this is – it would be a rental. That's what's tough is this is the last year of his deal.
If you could extend him by a year, then maybe. Yeah. I'll tell you another guy in the Twins rotation that I would like to have, Joe Ryan.
Yep.
That's a good arm to have.
Yes.
I mean, he threw a complete game shutout against you, so might as well put that to good use.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we'll keep tabs on it as the weeks go by. Obviously, once it gets closer to the deadline, hopefully some moves will happen. We'll have some stuff to talk about, but give credit to the Red Sox. They're competing.
Yeah.
They're fighting. And if you took the over this year on the Red Sox win total this year, you're looking pretty good in that right now.
Yeah.
looking pretty good. Pretty good. But anyways, one quick Patriots thing that I want to talk about, and then we'll get out of here. By the way, just NFL related, did you see the beef between Asante Samuel and Darrell Revis on Twitter yesterday?
I did not.
They were basically just going back and forth about, you know, how the other one was like trash, like, you know, trashing each other. And then Darrell Revis came with the Asante Samuel Super Bowl clip where he missed the interception, Super Bowl 42 for the Patriots. And then he's like, a high school corner gets that interception and you cost Tom Brady another ring. And I was like, wow, like there's some serious contention there. But oh man. But anyways, so the obviously we have to talk about him because he's in the news all the time, like especially related to the Patriots, DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
So DeAndre Hopkins is still unsigned. There's rumors that he's waiting for a third team to essentially come into the talks with being a free agent. The Buffalo Bills have been rumored to be in there, but apparently they want him to take a significant pay cut, and Hopkins wants no part of that. He's made that very clear. Yeah. So I think the Bills are starting to kind of fade away as potential. And then that leaves, like, the Kansas City Chiefs are another team that people are talking about because the defensive tackle Chris Jones is due for a contract extension. Then that can open up some cap space. And then Hopkins can chase a ring while potentially getting the money he wants. So that's another option. But I found something interesting. So I was going through Twitter because, you know, I like going through Twitter and I like getting my sports information there. And there's a lot of, you know, reliable people in the industry that give true reports. And I saw something interesting. So I believe it was BR Betting. So I believe that's Bleacher Report Betting that had this first. And I took a look at it. So on DraftKings, they have essentially they have futures for next team for certain players. And obviously, Powder, DeAndre Hopkins is the biggest name, if not one of the two biggest names in the free agency pool right now, along with Dalvin Cook. And the odds came out. The Patriots were the favorite. But now today, they are no longer the favorite. According to DraftKings, according to Vegas, the Tennessee Titans have minus 300 odds. So for those of you that don't gamble or anything, basically the long and the short of it is if you place $300 down, you win $100. That's the very basic way. You put down 30 bucks, you win 10 bucks. Yep. So do simple math there. But Tennessee is a favorite. They are the favorite to sign DeAndre Hopkins. And then the next team, and I want to see if I can find it here, but the next team with the next best odds, Powder, is the New England Patriots. Oh, so wait a minute. We have an update. This is now updated. So now the Tennessee Titans, so this is kind of breaking news. I don't know if we can put a breaking news in breaking news sound in here, Liam, but at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, according to DraftKings, the Tennessee Titans have now gone down to a minus 180 favorite. And the Patriots before were plus 425, Powder. Yeah. They're now at plus 165.
Ooh, it's getting closer.
It is getting closer. And also, too, the Kansas City Chiefs are at plus 800. They're now down to plus 350. So I think it's a three-horse race for Hopkins now.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to say this. I just need this guy to sign somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I am just sick and tired of it. Because, yeah, DeAndre Hopkins is good. Yes, he can help out any team, really. But let me tell you something, Powder. It's dragging out. Like, Hopkins is waiting for that third team. Yeah, the Chiefs say they have interest. Well, they better get that contract extension done soon.
Yeah.
Because what I think is happening, and a lot of Patriots fans will agree with this, we know Belichick's model. He'll say, go test out the free agency market, see what you can get. Come back to us. We'll give you a final offer.
Yeah.
So if it's like, and I'm just giving an example, if Tennessee's like, okay, we'll give you 3 for 24 with incentives up to 30, Belichick could come back and be like, all right, we'll give you 3 for 30 with incentives up to 36.
Yeah. And
then obviously Hopkins can sign that deal. But I don't know what's going to happen now. Because Tennessee, so there was a, so Mike Reese wrote something for ESPN, and it basically said the Titans and Patriots both have offers in place for DeAndre Hopkins. The Titans are being, quote, more aggressive. That's the part that's bugging me. Like, you say you love the player. We say that Bill Belichick loves DeAndre Hopkins. They never host free agents. They put Hopkins through a free agency visit. You know, they, Belichick and Hopkins supposedly spent so much time together. So what am I missing here? Why is this guy not signed? That's the part that I'm having trouble with, Powder. I don't know if you can help me with that, but that's, I don't know what's going on.
I don't know if I can help you with that, because everything seems to be pointing towards the Patriots signing him and all that stuff, but obviously it hasn't happened yet, so I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, because it's, I'm hoping just all of a sudden one day we wake up to an alert. Hey, breaking news, DeAndre Hopkins is a New England Patriot. Like, it just doesn't make sense, because from the beginning of this saga, it seemed like the Patriots were his team to sign with, and you thought it would be done already, and it hasn't been. But I get it. Like, the Patriots are letting him see what's out there, and if he truly wants to be a Patriot, he will sign here, and hopefully that happens sooner rather than later.
It needs to happen.
Yeah,
that's all it comes down to. It needs to happen. Like, at this point, Powder, I don't care if he signs with Tennessee. I mean, I'd be sad, but I don't care if he signs with Kansas City, but he needs to sign with somebody. Like, it's just getting ridiculous at this point. He took the visits in June. Okay, great. Sign with a team. Get the playbook. Get in shape. And be ready to go for training camp. Because training camp for the Patriots starts in exactly 2 weeks, or a little less than 2 weeks, is the first day. And I'm sure Belichick is going to want everybody at camp to make sure that everyone's ready to go.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the holdup is anymore with Hopkins, but, you know, especially now, again, think about it. The Titans went from minus 300 to minus 180. The Patriots went from plus 425 to plus 165. So something had to have happened. Like, I don't know what Vegas knows. I don't know if the Patriots have upped their offer, but something's up.
Yeah.
So, or it could just be a complete crapshoot and nobody knows what's going on. So we'll see. But before we kind of finish up, Powder, where do you think, honestly, he ends up? If you had to take a guess.
I hate to say it, but I feel like he's not going to be, I feel like he's going to end up with Tennessee just because they're being more aggressive and everything.
So I'm going to go a little different. I agree he's not going to be a Patriot. I think he's going to be a Chief. I think they're going to find a way to get that Chris Jones extension done. They're going to open up a ton of cap space. They're going to be able to sign him, give Patrick Mahomes a true number one weapon, similar to Juju last year before Juju signed with the Patriots in the offseason. And that's going to be your number one receiver. And then he's in a good position. He has his money, playing with one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL and playing for a championship.
Yep.
So that's what I think. I think he's waiting for Kansas City. I really do. And I think I don't care what anybody says. I think he's using the Patriots. I think he's using the Titans to get what he wants in Kansas City. That's what I truly think. So we'll see.
Yep.
We'll see what happens. But any final thoughts, Powder, or anything else you want to talk about real quick before we head out?
Nah, I got nothing.
Okay. Solid episode. A little longer than usual, but right around that 45, 50, 55 minute mark that we'd like to keep it at. As always, make sure to rate and subscribe to the Legends Lingo podcast on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, and everywhere else where you can get your podcasts. Make sure to check out, again, studentunionsports.com to check out all of your college and pro sports needs in article form, podcast form, etc.
Yep.
We'll be back next week. Hopefully we'll have some news about either a Red Sox trade. Maybe the Celtics will have made a big move. Maybe the Patriots will have a signing or two. We'll see.
Yeah.
But for Tom Powder Cadmus, I'm your host, Alan Nahegian. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week for episode 230.
Yes, sir.